My name is J.W. Dwyer. With me is Nate, and you're listening to Buddy Podcast, episode 17. We're just two guys hanging out, talking.
Talking.
Over the internet.
Right on the web. We're on the web, and we're talking. And we're coming to you on the web.
If this was a ham radio broadcast, you know, we'd never be able to do this. It's way too far away.
Oh, that's not true.
It's not true. Oh, see, I outed myself as not a huge nerd.
Yeah, in fact, I have an across the street neighbor who's like a super advanced ham, and he he's into long distance contacts.
He's a honey baked ham.
He has worked. The term is work. He's worked every country in the world. He's made contact with someone in every country in the world.
Wow.
From his house. Yeah,
so
it's amazing.
I don't get it. I mean, so are they much more, like the broadcast signals are much stronger than regular radio, or is it just on a different band of frequency?
Yeah, they're actually much weaker, but they're on a different band that has, that propagates off the ionosphere, so it bounces back and forth between the upper atmosphere and the Earth, and so it can kind of bounce all the way around the world.
Yeah.
I'm a ham, but I'm only what's called the tech level, so I don't have access to like the upper bands, the big ones where you can do all that fancy stuff.
You're a journeyman. A journeyman ham.
Yeah, and so I never got the higher license because I never wanted to like actually pay for the equipment that would become useful.
Oh, you need a higher license?
Yeah, so to actually do the bands that are useful for international conversations, you have to get a second level license called a general.
Or they want you to get another license. I mean, I'm sure I don't know how they'd enforce it.
You have to by law.
I know, yeah, but I mean...
And
you could
trust
do it without it.
Hams are sticklers.
Not, they
are? If they find out, like, they will look up your call sign, they will see your license level, they'll report you to the FCC. I am not
joking.
How
would they know? Is there a secret handshake or something?
No, so you have to use your call sign when you're broadcasting, and there's a database of call signs, and they can look you up.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's for real, man. Amateur radio is a whole other thing. Although, like, with all the amazing technology... And it's governed by international treaties and all this incredibly complex stuff. And then you actually get on there and you talk to someone. It's like, hey, how's the weather?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Okay. And that's it. They just talk about the weather.
A teacher of mine was involved with the internet when it was still a military thing. And they were like starting to be like, okay, how are we going to, we want to get this to consumers or whatever. And so she's an artist and... a really amazing one, Sharon Grace. You should look her up if you don't have a chance, if you have a chance. But anyway, she was involved with like those first like San Francisco to New York, you know, internet conversations. And she was like, even back then, it was pretty much just like, hey, okay, what's up? Hey, how are you? You know what I mean? Like these inane little conversations. It's like, what's also interesting is back then the video artists and all these people thought that the future was going to be spaghetti cities. So there was going to be copper wire and telephone wires everywhere. Like all these connections, hardwire connections. They didn't see that it would be wireless or hidden underneath the ground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they screwed up on that.
Are you going to start a pirate radio station?
You know,
those are harder to detect.
No.
No?
So, especially where I am, If you live in an urban environment, it's pretty easy to locate using direction finding.
Yeah.
So all you need is like three dedicated hams to go out and track you down, and they'll find you. So
for pirate radio.
Yeah. If they want to.
Like if it's not on the ham band, but on like the FM band.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be kind of similar,
I mean,
right?
I listen to NPR and jazz, local jazz station. But
I listen to talk.
Yes, and
but okay. Me and Shamwell did a performance, like our whole set, and gave an interview on a pirate radio station. It was cool. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. They got and ended up getting shut down a little while longer, afterwards. But it was just cool, you know, Pirate Cat Radio. That's what it was called.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so before we went on the air, I happened to say. Where's the, what did I say about the milk? I
said, you said, there it is.
Oh yeah, there it is. There's the milk, which is a Seinfeld, reference from his 1998 album. Actually it's Live on Broadway, but he also did an HBO special, which is different nights of the same set called I'm Telling You for the Last Time.
Yes.
And
that changed our life.
We listened to that album so many times.
I find myself making reference to it at least like once a week, but multiple times a week normally.
Lizanne and I actually just, because we were in Klamath Falls for the 4th of July, and I went grocery shopping after we got back, and I didn't check the grocery list, and I bought 2 gallons of milk, and we already had 1.5 gallons in the refrigerator, and I just texted Lizanne, I was like, we're going to be washing our faces with milk. You're washing your face with milk.
that's legit. You know, so some of the ones that come out of my mouth the most often are like, and I'm sorry, listeners, like if you haven't heard this show,
you need to go listen to it.
Yeah, just go stop, pause now.
I'm sure go it's steal on it YouTube.
On the internet. I'm download sure, it illegally.
I'm sure and, it's on YouTube.
Check it out.
Anyway, what are you saying?
Yeah, so like, okay, like the one where like, I'm using my arm. I use that all the time. And then like, I make variations of the joke. You're on the moon. Isn't that far enough?
We've listened to it so many times that we have the timing down of like the rhythm that he spoke it in.
Yes.
You know?
So good.
It's like, you don't think they got our fat, disgusting asses hanging out of this trailer, do you, Bill?
Oat bag, I get my oat bag now.
Oat bag time for me. Man, I love that album. I got Lizanne into Seinfeld when we first started dating. She like kind of didn't get the show or had never seen the stand-up. And so I introduced her to the show and it was kind of cool. When we first started dating, we watched every episode in order. And they're all so good except for the last one, which is so bad. But
Come on.
It aged even worse, you know, but anyway, so then I showed her I'm Telling You for the Last Time, and she watched it, for the first time my parents were here, and she almost like peed herself laughing.
Nice.
Laughed so hard. And then we saw Seinfeld live in Oakland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. He had a joke. He was talking about 5-hour energy and, classic Jerry way. He's like, if you need 5 hours of energy, go to bed. I was like, that's so good. That's such a dad joke now.
Yeah. You know, I saw the most recent time I saw him, though, like, I forget what show he was on. He was on some late night thing and he came out and he made an opening joke about smartphones and it just fell so flat. And I was like, oh, this is a bummer.
He had one. Is it the one with the faggy lord that he said? People are like flipping through their phones.
It was the joke about having the juiced up rectangle in your pocket or whatever. Anyway,
man, I love that record. Oh my gosh.
All right.
Yeah. What are some? I live in a Chinese neighborhood, and like, I'll just walk by like a dim sum place, and I'll be like, you're not plowing the fields with a couple of pool cues. You know they've seen the fork.
Yeah.
I don't know how they don't get it. Farmer in the field, spoon, shovel, hello. You're not plowing the fields with a couple of pool cues. Man, Jerry, you are a huge influence.
I don't think they're doing it. You can't clean something dry.
Yeah, there's no dry cleaning. What's dry? There has to be some sort of liquid back there.
We're in trouble.
I think about that all the time.
We're just stuck on this now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I'm just trying to. I mean, like, all the time. I just, like, it'll just pop in my head, you know?
It's good.
When somebody honks their horn in the city, I'll be like, beep, beep. honking at the girl in that joke.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like, it's so abstract now.
You're having just a constant meta narrative of humor. It's not accessible to normal people.
Anyway, so yeah, that was a good memory. Yeah.
So we should let the listeners in on a little secret.
You should let me in on a little secret.
So it's not now, right now, because JW's gonna go out of town. And so when you're listening to this now, we actually recorded it a little bit before, about a week before.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's well, we're gonna send you away for help. Anyway, what we're gonna do is we can't bring you our normal news comment section because we don't know what's gonna happen.
Anything we do not know. And there's gonna be big big news next week.
Really big, because there's gonna be that Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And Trump's gonna be there, and he said it's gonna be like very entertaining. We're going to have basically the Apprentice for vice very presidential pick going on in a basketball arena. It's going to be great.
God. Very, but we don't know what's going
to happen. So we're going to do some future news. We're going to do some BS predictions. What's going to happen? It's going to be great.
Well, so what's the headline read?
Headline reads, Trump chooses Indiana Governor Mike Pence for vice presidential pick.
Last minute, choice. Probably.
Yeah, Mike Pence. It's going to be Mike Pence. I'm calling it. I'm just calling it right now.
So, yeah.
Because let me tell you why. He's
a Democrat.
Well, no, I mean, not quite. He's a Republican.
Oh, he is. Who's the Democrat then?
He had a general that he was talking, retired general talking about. It was a Democrat. Pence is an interesting character because, like, he's got credibility because he's an actual, like, politician who's been a governor. He has executive experience. And but he doesn't have like too much like self-respect or ambition that he won't, you know, refuse to be associated with Trump. Because part of the problem that Trump's having is everyone's afraid to be associated with his campaign because they believe he's not going to win. And, you know, it's going to be like a poison pill for your career if you're on the Trump ticket,
yeah,
you know, or associated with it. Mm-hmm. So, but Pence is like,
which
nah.
It very well may be.
Yeah. So, but Pence is like, I don't care.
He should choose Palin.
That's my, oh gosh, you're killing me. I mean, like, she did come out and like endorse him, I guess.
Oh yeah. In this crazy person speech where she's wearing this shimmering, she looked like, those Christmas lights that people put on their, homes that dangle down the white, like, that's supposed to look like icicles, but they just look like broken lights to me. I don't know. But, but anyway, she was wearing like that shirt and just talking like a woman who's only watched herself on reality television for the last 8 years, you know?
You know, and it was a really humorous sort of meta moment because I was listening. I think it must have been NPR because I was just listening. So they had a radio report from a correspondent who was there, wherever that was, in Iowa or whatever. And so they're like, okay, you know, Trump just got the endorsement from Palin. And she's speaking right now. And then in the background of his report, you can hear her voice just like going on. And you can tell like from the like the pitch and cadence that like she's just, you could tell even unprepared. Then, like, it's crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can tell. I can't even hear it. And it's crazy. And so like, I'm just like, I'm so excited to find out what she said. And then sure enough, like you get the transcript and you're just like, what?
Yeah, it's really.
No, I don't think it's gonna be Palin though.
No.
So that other guy you're talking about is
he
the
needs
general.
To expand his base.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. So anyway, what else is gonna happen? So what do you think? There gonna be any social unrest, violence going on there? What do you think?
I think I can go either way. I feel like either like there'll be a story says like. Boring or something like that. Actually, I kind of don't feel like that. I feel like there's going to be violence, but it's going to be coming from the left, actually, okay. Which is so
some
stupid.
Instigators are
so
going to go
stupid.
Out and
yeah.
counter protest or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if anybody, I hope nobody gets shot, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of scary because there was already like that petition that was circulating, like, let us bring guns in the arena.
God damn
which, it. Like, both the Republican Party and the people who own the arena were like, no.
The neo-Nazis, said they're going to be outside the arena of keeping order.
Yeah, there's been a number of groups. And then since the Dallas shooting, I think that's even kind of upped the temperature on that because they're like, well, look what might happen. So we have to be ready. And so there's going to be like a lot of guns there.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of risk. And I know there's going to be people protesting, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's going to draw a response. So, yeah, hopefully all the heads will stay cool. But you never know what might happen.
Well, and like you don't know whether or not Trump will denounce the violence if there is any, or if he, he's been pretty lousy
at that so far. Yeah. That'll be like the critical moment in his, if his campaign can, you know, grow up, is like, hey guys, you can't actually just shoot people in the street, you know?
I know. What if he doesn't choose a running mate?
Well, that's a great question. So
I don't know how it's written now, because they used to, I mean, it used to not be.
Yeah. So so here's my theory. The electoral votes, each elector has two votes, one for president and one for vice president. If the ticket only had a presidential candidate on it, let's say Trump won, but the Democrats' vice presidential candidate would get the most votes in the VP contest and would win.
Say that again.
So you have two different votes. You've got each elector in the Electoral College. They have two votes. They have one vote for president and one vote for vice president.
Okay.
So let's say Trump wins.
Yeah. Which they're bound to vote for him, right?
Well, it depends. They probably will not break ranks and do that. In certain states, you can be held legally accountable if you are what's called a faithless elector. In other words, you vote in the Electoral College not how you're supposed to, but there's no actual constitutional mechanism that says like you have to do this.
Yeah.
You're like, still technically it's a free will vote of the electors. It's just bad form to not.
Well, because it's a private institution, right? It's like these parties are not public institutions. They work as public servants.
But at this point, it doesn't have anything to do with the parties for the Electoral College. But all it is the electors, like the Constitution just says the electors meet in their states and they vote.
Okay.
And it doesn't, what has happened in all 50 states is every state has a law that says our electors are going to vote based on the popular vote of this state.
Yeah.
And I think Maine and Nebraska have some form of proportional allocation where it's possible that some electors will go to one candidate and some will go to another. But almost every other state is just, you know, winner take all.
Yeah.
Anyway, presidential vote. Let's say Trump wins. He gets the majority of the Electoral College. He's elected president. If he does not have a running mate, then the only person who receives votes for in the vice presidential Electoral College would be the Democrats' running mate, whoever that's going to end up being.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have like a split thing where like it'd be like President Trump and Vice President Democrat. Be kind of weird.
Wow. But,
so it's highly unlikely that he would actually not have a running mate, but
yeah,
I believe that is what would happen.
Wow, that'd be a shit show right there.
I know. It'd be incredible.
I know. So, I feel like he's going to choose his wife.
Melania?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think she... So actually, you brought up a really fascinating question, because depending on how you read the Constitution, some people think someone who is ineligible to be the president cannot be the vice president.
Yeah.
But she's ineligible to be elected president, but she's not ineligible to be president per se, because what the Constitution says has to do with electing the president. And if she were to assume the office by default in the case of her husband's death, she wouldn't be elected. So anyway, that's a minor point. It'll probably never actually get tested in court, but there is a difference of opinion about whether or not, for example, could you have a term limited former president as your vice president?
Not anymore, right? Or no, wasn't Ronald Reagan trying to get Gerald Ford to be his vice president candidate?
No. So what?
Gerald Ford was like, no, fuck you. And then he chose George H.W. Bush, I thought.
Oh, I mean, that might be possible. I don't know. I mean, the question is, it's never happened, so we don't really know. And that's the term limits issue, but whether or not she could be elected as the vice president if she's not eligible to assume the presidency, probably not. But the other question is, that's never actually been challenged before, so it's not clear how that would proceed. Like, who has standing to bring a case to the Supreme Court saying this person shouldn't be president? Well, like, we don't know. You'd have to figure it out.
So. Well, I'll tell you somebody who could stand up against that. The governator.
Yeah,
that's who he should choose. He should choose Arnold as his running president. Mate.
You know, at this point, this country, it's like everyone's like, yeah, let's just all agree. Let's have Arnold be the president.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just pull the break here.
We'll have a battle of champions.
Yeah. No kidding. That'd be incredible. I would love it. I don't know if I would or not, but, you know, it would have to work. Anyway, so that's our predictions. Hopefully no violence, you know, whatever's going to happen with the VP. And that's it. We don't know what's really going to happen.
Hillary is so lucky. She is so lucky that she's running against Donald Trump.
She really is, because I don't think the irony is, like, given the fact that we've had a two-term Democrat president and we have all these terrorism concerns going on, like, to me, like, by default, the Republican should win. Just like, all things being equal, you know, it's like baseball. You get, like, your replacement level player, AAA. You get two people in, AAA Democrat, AAA Republican. Republican's going to win by default.
Yeah.
But when you put Trump in there, it's like, well, what the heck is this all about? Like, we don't know what's going on. So,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I think if Bernie would have entered the race earlier, then he probably would have won. But he was pulling ahead of Donald Trump, too, in a head to head match,
yes, but I would take those polls with a grain of salt.
Because that's the national poll, not the, like...
It's a national poll, and it was a hypothetical national.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't really call Hillary, like, a liar so much when you have your ticket has Donald Trump on it. You know what I mean? It's like, true. She did lie about some pretty serious things, but Donald Trump is being accused of raping a teenage girl. You know what I mean? Like,
is that true?
Yes. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. There's two women. You know that billionaire friend that he had that got convicted of running a prostitution ring and child pornography and all that stuff?
I don't know any of this stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah. Man. So one of the 13-year-old girls that was a part of his harem, and the one of the older women that helped recruit her into that prostitution ring is accusing Donald Trump of raping her when she was 13 years old. Yeah. I'm going to look.
That's a really tough situation, because like everyone deserves a voice, and we definitely need that feedback now before the guy's possibly elected president. But like, at the same time, the incentive for a false accusation is so high against like a wealthy person when you could possibly affect a national election. It's just like the stakes are so high in that kind of situation. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, wow. There's something within the last hour. It says this video is going viral on Donald Trump child rape allegations. yeah.
Speaking of viral video, mm-hmm. I watched some flat earth videos on YouTube.
What's flat earth videos?
So these are people who believe the earth is flat.
No way.
Yes, it's a real thing, and
how?
Yeah, well, they're dumb people, but they basically believe everything. Like, they basically believe like NASA and the European Space Agency and the Russians all lie, and the Earth is actually a flat disk, and there's a firmament, like a dome, that contains the atmosphere, and like it's really pretty crazy. Like, it does not make sense. Like,
wow.
For example, someone, you know, like in like a counter video, someone's like, hey, how come the moon looks upside down when you're in the southern hemisphere?
What?
Oh, I know. It's because
what?
The earth is a globe, you know.
That's insane.
You can't explain that if the world's flat. And then it's like, how? So like, there was a guy just this last year who died after trying to traverse Antarctica. But in their theory, Antarctica is actually a giant ice wall that surrounds the entire southern, you know, part of the disk.
Whoa.
I'm just like, oh, no. Anyway, I got it. Let me tell you how I got into this. The All-Star Game. I don't know if you saw this, but there is this Canadian men's singing group that sang the Canadian national anthem.
Yeah.
And the guy had a solo, and then he like changed the lyrics to be like All Lives Matter or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
So the news was coming out and people are digging into this guy, and the guy is like, he's on Facebook and he's like allegedly a chemtrails, like GMO conspiracy theorist and flat earth. And I was like, oh no.
The chemtrail guys are crazy too.
Yeah.
Chemtrails, man.
It's all bad.
It's all bad.
Yeah.
Do your research.
So, I had a coworker who brought up the perfect like refutation to chemtrails. They're like, why don't they just do it when it's cloudy and we can't see it?
That's like, that's a great point.
Oh gosh, that makes perfect sense. Dang it.
Yeah, it does. It's like,
yeah.
I asked somebody who was a, my brother's father-in-law was a fighter pilot stationed down in Klamath Falls. Really interesting guy, actually. I really like him a lot. But he explained like how it, I was like, so those guys are quacks, right? And he was like, oh yes, they are quacks.
They're quacks. Don't worry.
Yeah. He was up in the air on 9/11 actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He says doing it takes like 10 minutes or something to fly from Klamath to Portland in one of those jets.
Wow. That's
yes.
Amazing.
I mean, can you, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the SR-71 on its, one of its final voyages, they flew from LA to Washington, DC in an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, because like normally they're not allowed to fly supersonic across the continental U.S., but they approved it for like this final ride or whatever.
Wow.
And so that's
I wonder
crazy.
How far you can hear a supersonic boom.
I don't know. I never heard one, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of have with a rope, a whip snap.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But not from a big old jet.
No, so. Not from a jet.
How did we get on this topic?
I don't know, but here's a, let's see, I'm going to load this video. It's only, can you hear that?
Okay. Yep.
Here's the video. There's something that says complaint for, oh man, it's all silent. This is ridiculous. I mean, like, that's ridiculous. I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, don't make a video with that music in it and, like, with, like, little blurbs going across the screen.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess the concern is we're getting into the dichotomy of the internet's value. Like,
yeah,
wow, it's amazing. You can learn anything. There's so much information, so many facts that we never could dream of having exposure to. And it's the ultimate BS platform as well.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You can just lie or make stuff up and you have an audience.
You have to know how to, like, you know, digest media, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that should be looked at very skeptically.
Well, and I mean, like, there's still, and this is where I think the newspapers still play a decent role. Like, you know, if the Washington Post picks up that story, that I'll give it a little more credence. Because, like, they have a sense of professional reputation where they won't just start reporting on a YouTube video, right?
Yeah.
They'll actually like try to independently verify stuff. So
anything that says bombshell in all caps and then a colon, you know, should be looked at with a skeptic's point of view. Bombshell.
You know what I really like? I have pathos towards just like, is like, I have a, I hate clickbait headlines so much that I actually kind of like being made angry by them.
Yeah.
So like when I see those headlines, like, you know, list of 23 blah, blah, blahs, I was shocked by number 17.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I hate you.
Where are they now? You won't believe how many of these teen heartthrobs are dead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, damn. And it's like, I didn't believe it. I could not believe that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I know. I can't help but fall for him either. But yeah, I mean, who knows, man? Who knows?
This year, you can't, none of the normal predictive power for this year works at all.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. But yeah, Hillary Clinton's very, very lucky. Very lucky, because anybody else would just be just destroyed. Like, the Republicans are trying to, no, don't forget about this.
Yeah,
don't ignore the Saddam Hussein quotes, please.
Yeah, please. You know, we just threw some gas at him. No big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then also Hillary's such a bad candidate that Donald Trump should be just destroyed by now. You know, and he's not. He's still kind of standing. So with no campaign, he's done like no campaigning. He doesn't even like half of his. Yeah. Offices across the United States aren't even open. They don't even have voicemail. you know?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, I, for one, if he has a close race or if he wins, a benefit of that would be it would prove that the $1 billion election complex is not necessary and we don't need this much money in politics. Like, yeah. And that would be really good, I think.
I wonder
if it really only costs $50 million or $100 million to run a presidential campaign instead of billions.
Yeah.
Like, and all this money became irrelevant. Like, that would, I think, be an overall positive step.
Yeah. You
know, for democracy.
So. But I mean, he might choose Newt Gingrich, the guy who, you know, started all that fundraising bullshit. I mean, he's the one that ruined Congress right there. I wonder if he'll pick him, you know.
It could be Newt. It could be Newt.
I mean, like, it's, if it wasn't for all that shit, like, our congressmen and women wouldn't be spending half of their day on the phone trying to get money from their constituents for fundraising. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It is, you know? Ridiculous.
And then, yeah, I don't know. Newts.
Yeah.
Newts.
All right. Well, that's the future news.
Oh, yeah, that's the future news.
Maybe next episode, if we nailed it, we'll brag. And if we didn't, we'll just be totally silent. So.
Yeah, we won't mention it. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a break, and then we will go back to the future.
Tuba. Let me tell you what I have.
What do you have?
I have a guitar.
All right. And do you still play left-handed? Weren't you playing left-handed for a while?
I was. When I very first started to play, my dad is a lefty, and I learned how to play on his left-handed guitar. But then when I got my own guitars, I always bought righties. So,
okay. And
I used to have more than one, huh? Huh?
More than one, huh?
Yeah. Well, I had my electric guitar, and then I had a really bad, kind of cool acoustic guitar that like the the bridge, like, instead, like, the bone original, like, bone bridge, mm-hmm. like, fallen out, and so there's a pencil.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And then I had a pretty cool 12 string from my grandpa.
Oh, that's cool.
That I eventually gave that away, but that was kind of cool.
Didn't you have a Telecaster or something?
I had a fake, you know, I had a Squire, you know, Indonesian Telecaster, which was a decent, you know, instrument for what
Squires
I paid for,
are not
but
bad
really,
guitars,
really
man.
Wasn't that great.
I mean, the early Squire models are like, they're American made Strats to be marketed in Japan. Do you know the story of the Squire?
I don't.
So, okay. So, in Japan in the 80s, there was a whole bunch of Fender Stratocaster knockoffs being, like, just sold everywhere because they didn't want to pay the incredible price for a USA Strat to be sold and shipped over to Japan. So there was a huge black market for knockoff Strats. So Fender was like, we got to get in on this. This is ridiculous. So they made a new company called Squire that would be, their guitars would be sold in Japan. And it would compete with these black market guitar makers. The thing is, the first 2 or 3 years, those were American-made Strats. I mean, like, they had the exact same components. The first models, actually, the very first series, even had the American pickups in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, because that was identical. The main thing about the Squires was the pickups.
But. Yeah, it's funny because I had a Squire Strat. I always thought it played really well. Like, I really liked it. But since it said Squire on it, I was always, like, embarrassed, you know? And then I went, I actually sold it to my brother Steven for $100 that I needed, which I feel he always gives me shit about too. But I needed that $100 for some reason. But anyway, $100. But he was just letting it sit in his office at the church that he works at. So I was like, can I borrow this? And I haven't given it back since. Good. Anyway, I looked up the serial number, and it's actually from like the third series that they made. So it's like a Stratocaster body and mm-hmm. without the electronics, but it plays really nice. And I should have not been embarrassed, man. I should have just stayed with it, you know, because it's actually a pretty, pretty cool guitar. But I don't know if Tellys are the same way. They might be.
Well, mine definitely wasn't because... when JW and I were in at the church we grew up in, there was a guy who was a dad of someone else in our youth group who had a really good American Telecaster that both of us would get to play from time to time, and it was so good. Was Bill?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we would play his Tele, and it was legit, and it was so good. Like it was the action on it was so smooth. And it would just sounded so good. And then I'd go home and play my Squire Tele, and I'm like, wow, this is fun, but it's just nowhere not near, the same. Whatever. It was fun for what I needed it for. So,
you know, you can gut those things too and put in really nice electronics, fix the fretboard. A lot of the cheaper guitars though will use, basswood. Is it basswood or basswood? I don't know. I don't know. I always say basswood because it...
Email show at buddypodcast.com if you know.
Yeah. But don't just spell basswood. Because you have to tell us how it's pronounced. I don't know.
It's pronounced.
It's pronounced basswood, not basswood. Anyway, and that stuff sucks. But, you know, you can really gut these cheap guitars and microphones. I have to say that's another tip. Buy Chinese microphones that look awesome and then gut them and buy like... you know, $300 components, and then you have yourself a like $1,500 microphone for $300 or for $400, you know.
Nice.
Not bad.
Yeah, so I guess back to the instrument stuff, and this will play great into the core of the Buddy Podcast trope, which is most of my current instrumental activities I play in the handbell choir at church.
Such a beautiful instrument
it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Handbells, man. And, it's kind of cool. Cause like you're a cog in a machine. Like there's 11 of us and you have, you know, a few notes that you're responsible for playing at any time. And you got to work together to make that stuff happen.
Are they arranged like a piano?
Yeah. Yeah. You basically have like it's all the same, you know, like you have the notes printed on the bells. We have 4 octaves.
Wow.
Of bells. And then, yeah, so you have 2 notes plus accidentals, you know, so you'll have like up to 4 bells, but the higher range bells actually will double up. So they'll play octaves. So they'll play 2 bells at once.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty fun.
Like in one hand holding them.
Yeah, correct. And then like sometimes I play the low parts and I play basically 2 parts worth of bells because the way most of this stuff is arranged, like you can kind of get away with having only one person instead of 2 down there. So that's kind of a fun little challenge.
Is it a family
band?
That's
what I've been doing lately. So.
Is it a family handbell choir band?
Oh yeah. Kim's in it. You know, that's except cool. for when we have a baby.
Is she first chair?
She's
the drum major.
Yeah, she's so good at it. And
she's an incredible musician. I mean, like she really is.
She could play any of the parts. She doesn't necessarily play the hardest part right now, but like she can
humble.
Play anything.
You're
she's
an incredible
so
musician too. I mean, like you both are. Your kids could very well be, you know, terrible musicians, but they also might be good.
And they sucked at music. No, yeah. I guess we'll find out on that front. We're talking about getting my oldest son. He's been asking for a violin. So we're like, we might just call his bluff and get him, rent him one and get him some lessons and see what happens, you
That's
know?
Funny.
So.
When I was his age, I used to beg for a violin too, but my parents wouldn't get me one. But so what I would do is I had this little Casio synthesizer or like a tiny one, you know, which I actually have. I found it when we were cleaning out my house when my mom moved out. And I used to put that underneath my chin and then close my eyes because I always saw violin players play with their eyes closed. And then press the buttons, like have the drum beat going, like and then like hold down the buttons with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give a little history. So we're both band geeks and,
that's right.
Let's see. I played clarinet to start and then I switched to bassoon and then I added tuba.
Bassoon is such a beautiful instrument too.
It was good. It was good. I wish I was better, but, you know, whatever. And then
is it a B flat interest?
Trumpet, yeah. And then mellophone, right? At some point.
Well, in marching band, I played mellophone, and then I played, but in band, I ended up switching to the euphonium.
Okay, you switched to the euphonium. So that was our band stuff, and we played in a band, a high school band that was pretty good. But then the other thing, the other side of the coin was JW and I. We're in a couple garage bands together. That's back right. In the day.
Infratone. Too clever of a name.
It was way too clever because people just were confused.
They're so
and
confused.
We played at our high school during the diversity assembly. And we played at the library once. And we played at the Roseland during a battle of the bands.
Oh, yeah, we played. And, yeah, that one was. I was thinking about that the other day.
We played several places. And
yeah, we used to play shows.
We played at the Grange. Remember we played at the Grange? Like
oh, our friend Nate. Yeah.
Our friend Nate was like, he's a pretty incredible guy. But like one thing he did was like he booked like a tour from a small record label to like come play in this Grange in Hillsboro. And then he let us be the opening band.
Yeah. And they were probably like, what the fuck?
They were probably like, those guys were always like, oh no.
Like these guys are like 14, 15 years old.
Why are these 15 year olds opening for us? But anyway, yeah, it's fun. It's good, clean fun.
That's funny. That was a fun night. I remember that. That was like a pre-manic episode, I think I was having that night, if I remember correctly, looking back. I'm like, yeah, I could see that maybe I was getting a little out of control. People thought it was just hyperactivity, but, you know, yeah, it probably was, because whatever. I don't want to go into it, but, yeah, we used to, yeah, you've always been a very good musician, better than me, for sure. You have the brains, and I have the look.
The look. Yeah. Well, I just haven't ever put the work in very much. I mean, I'm just gonna be frank. Like,
'cause you never had to.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I guess. And I didn't have an ambition the way other people did as well. So I was good enough that I was a scratch tubist and I could play in a brass quintet with some people who are way better than me and still kind of hang in there with them.
Katie's still making music, and, isn't she? You're talking about Katie Ferrato, who's a incredible
French. Yeah, you probably don't
want to
use her whole name, so let's re-record that.
I don't know. I mean, she's a musician, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Katie, and I think she's a pro. So
she's a pro. Yeah, incredible. Yeah. We Mr. Vandehey, which is our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like. He was a really gifted music instructor. He did not like me, though. He did not like me one bit.
No, he did not like you. No.
I don't know why. I mean, just it must have been my face. He just must have hated my face.
He looked at you and he's like, I don't like this
guy.
Not
everybody can like me, you know? In fact, lots of people don't, especially after a while. But what's funny is that I still use stuff that I learned in his class every day. Like, I actually... became a musician.
Yeah, he's a great teacher. There's no question.
No.
So very inspirational.
So. Yeah. So do you ever think that what if I would have went into music? Because you could have gone pro, dude.
Maybe. I don't know.
What about Kim?
Not,
she
not really. I just never really had the urge. What I do kind of occasionally miss is that sometimes I'm just like, I'm like, man, I kind of wish I was just in a jam band, you know, just get the old duffers together and, you know,
for sure,
get out the instruments and jam every once in a while. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, man. Blues
I do
scales.
Tease Kimberly and say like, hey, we should get a family band going here. And she's like, no, we're not doing a family band.
Dude,
come on.
You don't even have to just like start jamming. She'll jump in. Jam. I mean, she was a music major, right? Was she a composition major or education major?
She education, but she did, She did, I mean, maybe a little bit of comp, but she also did a bunch of conducting, special focus on that. And yeah. So she's got to conduct stuff too.
Do you think that she'll go back in, try it? Well, you can, I'll ask her, but do you think she'll go and, you know, pursue that path more?
No, because she got more inspired just by normal elementary education.
Oh, really?
She found out, she discovered in the course of her, when she was in college, that she would really prefer to just do normal, like, classroom ed, and that's what she pursued.
Well, she's such a good leader. She was also our band, our drum major in high school.
That's right. You heard it here. Yep. This guy, Nate,
got
the ultimate band geek achievement.
Yeah,
I married the drum major.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I did it.
I know. Well, she was also a ballet dancer, which
yeah,
you know, means that's that crazy. She's pretty hot, you know. We both married ballerinas, actually.
It's the way to go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Anyway, yeah. So do you still have any instruments or anything?
Yeah,
or?
I have, just looking around me in the studio.
What do you got?
I have a bass guitar and two electric guitars, which I have to give one to Steven, actually, because I told him I'd give him my hollow body. Electric.
Okay. That's going to bring up an important question.
What's up?
Solid, hollow, or semi?
Well,
what's your uses?
Well, I like them all, but it really depends. I like for like wall of sound stuff, like really reverby stuff. I mean, gosh, sometimes I used to really like a hollow body for that, but now I've been really loving the solid body for that because it gives it more oomph. I used to play a really trebly. With a really trebly tone, and now I actually play with a really kind of lower tone. I guess it depends, really. The thing is, I had a pretty bad back injury back in 2011 or something, and I couldn't even put a guitar on my shoulder, like, at all.
Yeah.
It just hurt so bad. I was in a band with Shamwell, the guy I played at that pirate radio station with. And the band had to just kind of take a extended hiatus that we're, you know, we had to break up because I couldn't play. Like, I could not play. So when I finally could start playing again, the hollow body was like amazing. And now that I have this strap back, it's actually pretty heavy, I'm realizing. But, but anyway, so yeah, that's such a good question. I don't know. I feel like the instrument really matters. Like, some people will be like, does the amp matter, or does the, you know, tape that you record on matter? Does the room? And I think it's all of them, you know, the instrument matter, it all matters. But it starts with the player, honestly, you know.
Yeah.
Good tone is like from your fingers and your dick, but
I don't know what that means. Anyway, I got to a point where, and this is, you know, we talked about records last episode about how it's dangerous. Like, if I started thinking about guitars, like, I could actually go out and buy a guitar now, and that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyway, growing up, like, a semi-hollow or a hollow was just beyond the pale. Like, that was so uncool, could never, ever consider getting one. And then I remember, like, towards the end of my guitar career, I was kind of like, wait a minute. Some of these are kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, dang it. Oh, this might be really good. But
oh, yeah.
I,
like,
never
those
went there.
Epiphones,
so.
Like those big old jazz
big
guitars.
Big old Epis, yeah.
Did you ever
yeah.
see my Epiphone knockoff, the GTX?
I did see that. Yeah, I remember at some point seeing that.
That's a cool guitar. I need to fix the electronics before I give that to Steven, which that's a real pain in the ass with hollow body, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Guitars, because you can't open them up. You have to kind of like solder stuff on and jimmy it in there somehow. And it's a real
pain.
I also have a cornet, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a cornet, and it's from 1905, I think. And it's beautiful, like crazy cornet design stuff. And I don't have my chops back. My chops are still like.
It's tough. You know, we have an old instrument in our home. We have a piano from about that time.
Oh, that's
1908.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Pretty neat.
Do you guys play it often?
Yeah, yeah. Kimberly plays it, and the boys kind of dink around on it a little bit.
That's cool.
But I forgot one other instrument I have. I have a harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Marine Band E major harmonica, and I it might be time to try again, but it was just so frustrating because I got it and like it's fun to play and just toot around on or whatever. But I got into this issue where like, okay, if I play it at home when the kids are awake, they just incessantly ask me for it.
Yeah.
So, but I can't really play it after bed because I don't want to wake anyone up.
Do it when you're riding the rails, dude.
I might have to do that. But then I thought like, I'll play it I'll play it outside.
You should have one of those harmonica holders and then play it in your bell choir band.
Yes, that now we're talking. And so I just need to experiment. So right now I actually have it at work. It's like right under my computer monitor. It's like my little like...
Play it at work. You know,
I occasionally do bust it out and people will be like, what the heck is that guy doing?
I got the bloody blues.
Yeah, just doing it, man. Just let it happen.
On bad days, you're like your boss walks in, you're just like...
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It's kind of a hard instrument to play, actually. I know that
it is, you know, it's really
block the reeds out with your tongue, you know, yeah. to get the notes. But other than that, I mean, like, it's actually pretty, I haven't learned the trick yet.
So, and that's just the thing, because you listen to it, like you listen to Bob Dylan play and you're like, oh, this guy, the licks he's playing are easy.
Yeah.
And then like you play it and you're like, this sounds like crap. How does he do it?
Yeah.
He practices, you know, he practiced a lot, obviously.
Yeah. He was in a chain gang.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, anyway. I mean, for me learning an instrument, there's always some trick, you know what I mean? That like, I'll be practicing and I'll just be kind of faking it. And then something will click in my head and be like, oh, like with playing guitar and learning how to improvise for so long, I didn't know how to do that. And then actually in San Francisco, I was playing with this guy just randomly my last year of college. He was like, oh, you play guitar? Let's jam. I was like, okay, yeah, I haven't played in a while. And he was like, oh, look at it like this, like shapes. He's like, look at these shapes that your fingers are making. And I was like, oh. And then I could improvise like any scale up and down the neck, like all the different positions, just like that. And then and with the horn also is kind of similar, but with the harmonica, I do not know the trick. You know what I mean? Like, what's that thing that the pros are doing? That's like, oh, that's it. You know?
Yeah. I had a moment similar to that when I was first learning to play the tuba and I had not played brass instruments before and my tone just wasn't really clear. And like, our band director was telling me a few different things and like none of them was working. And then all of a sudden he's like, you need to drop the back of your tongue lower in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I did that. And then all of a sudden it was like crystal clear tone. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's weird how like you have to find the right way to convey something to someone. And then all of a sudden it's just like, bing.
Yeah. Like to a student, just knowing that thing that's like, they're going to get it. Like that's a good feeling as a teacher actually to be like, oh, that was it. That's what you were looking for.
So what instrument do you want to pick up someday? What's your secret desire?
Gosh, I wish I was better at playing slide guitar. I'm okay at it.
That's another one that there's a trick to it.
The trick is to mute the strings like behind.
And that's hard.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. You have to play it with your ring finger. I always switch. I go sometimes my middle finger, sometimes my ring, sometimes my pinky. That's difficult to play too. And then lap steel is also kind of tricky, but it's easier to mute the strings. I don't know what instrument would I really love. I'd love to learn how to play piano better because right now, the songs that I write and record actually have really complex, interesting piano parts, but I play them like one hand at a time and I layer like three different channels to get
to get it.
Yeah, to get it. So it's totally fake. You know, which is fine. I mean, if you're producing music, like anything, everything that you hear in music that's recorded is kind of fake. Like every singer has a pitch corrector on their channel. They might not know it, but they have a pitch corrector on their channel. And then like all the drum sounds you hear have something called drum triggers, which are like synthesized or they're like samples that are like every time a snare drum hits, this sample also hits.
You know? Wow.
So yeah, crazy. All those amazingly produced drum sounds, you know, most of them have a little MSG in it.
Because I remember a while back, like people were talking about the idea of producing records. And I know Bazan did, like, he did a so-called tour album where they just did a tour rehearsal and recorded it.
Yeah.
Where they just put like a big, they just put one big mic on the drums.
Yeah.
And then like one basically channel per each instrument and just
you can hear that too. Yeah. You can totally hear that rawness. And I actually love that. That live album you're talking about, I love that album.
Yeah.
But not every recording is like that, but the, a lot of times the really super produced ones will have that. I love the way Bazin records his music. I mean, it just, you can kind of hear him in the studio. It's cool that he's got better musicians around him too. Cause he's not like a lot of, I think a lot of musicians when they get money, they lose that rawness that got them to where they are, you know,
mm-hmm.
like they start playing it safe. They start, hiring like musicians that went to music conservatory, you know what I mean? Instead of hiring like these badass dudes on the street or girls. Yeah. Anyway, but he doesn't seem like he lost that rawness, even though he has money in his recordings now.
Yeah.
David Bazin, everybody check him out. In fact, I was going to talk to you the other day about Curse Your Branches and how good of a record that is.
That I agree. That is a really good record. Like the whole thing, like I would say the way it's produced, the way it's sequenced and the content is just all A+ to me. I'm just like, it's one of those miracle things where like from an artist I love, he put something out and I'm like, holy crap, this whole thing is really good. And it's thematically tight. And the other album of his that is really thematically tight because it's a concept album is Winners Never Quit, mm-hmm. Which you and I also listened to a lot back in the day.
That's a good story. Truck.
So
But that's not a personal story. Like I think what makes Curse Your Branches so interesting is like it's about this personal struggle.
Yeah,
he's always kind of had in his music, but now the struggle is like, you know, for those of you who don't know, he's a son of a preacher man, and he was raised evangelical, but then he's like given up his faith, and that kind of struggle with, for a while his music was about the struggle of being like, okay, I'm dealing with my alcoholism, and I'm dealing with this crisis of faith, and then Curse Your Branches came out, and it was kind of like, now I'm dealing with the fallout from my family dealing with my crisis of faith. And it's just such a beautiful album. Like, and he just bears it out there. And it's just so sneaky too, because the lyrics are so heavy and so interesting. And the music is so poppy and catchy.
He's the expert in songwriting of turning the meaning of a song on a single word. Like, it's amazing how he can do that. Like, you know, the headphones song, I Never Wanted You.
No, it's so good.
But basically this is a song where it sounds like someone's just being sort of capricious and saying, you know, the hook is I never wanted you, various repetitions of it. But then you come to, you know, we're going to take this thing to the bridge, and you find out actually this guy's only saying this. He's lying because he feels betrayed. And so he wants to lash out and hurt the person back. So he says, you know, it isn't like me to be inflammatory. Rather than let you think that I was so naive, I'd have you believe I never wanted you. And you're just like, oh, David, you're killing me. Killing me. So sad.
Anyway, he also is very Pacific Northwest at times.
Yeah, it's so good.
It can be a little sad. But
self-consciously Northwest.
Yeah. But he's one of the good ones. I love his cover of that. What's his name? The political... it's called... Oh man, the one about the countries, and I forget who did the music to Toy Story. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about? He did the song "Short People Got Nobody." That song. Are you still there? Nope. Did I lose you? Well, everybody, it seems like we've lost Nate. I don't know where he went. Where are you, Nate? Man, I have my phone off, too. I'm gonna text this bad mamma jamma. Oh, man, he didn't plug his battery in. Battery, oops. I'm gonna text him, you're blowing it. There you go. What a jerk. What a jerk. I wonder how much he actually heard. Who knows? Man, I was watching In the Name of the Father today. Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm so gay for that guy. Everything he's in is so good. Like, everything. Like, I've been on a total Daniel Day-Lewis kick. I watched There Will Be Blood a few days ago. I watched Lincoln. Oh, man, I love that movie, Lincoln. Today I watched In the Name of the Father. Think I'm going to watch My Left Foot tomorrow, and then... No, I'll watch the Scorsese Gangs in New York tomorrow, and then I'll follow it up with some My Left Foot. Although he's also in a comedy in 1988 called Stars and Bars that looks pretty funny as well. So, I don't know. What a talent, that guy. What a talent. All right, you jerk. Come on. Here we go. Okay, cool. I have no idea how much you heard, but,
let's just, so you can just splice in a couple of these. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Why don't you get out of here? Scram.
You suck. Put that
go
in
fly
there.
Take a walk, kid.
And then like whatever, hopefully you at least finished the sentence before you were like, what the heck? Why isn't he on the dang call? And what is going on? Something like that. And
watch
then,
out!
It'll be good.
Behind you!
Oh, no. Anyway, oh, no. Should we find something? I had an electricity problem.
Yeah.
And we're picking up.
I know.
And we're
going
to go on. And the show must go on, but then the show must end. So
I didn't
go.
Know you were on a laptop computer. I thought you were on.
I am on a laptop. Yeah. I'm on a laptop right now. So.
Yeah. So am I. All right. Well, we've talked long enough. Isn't that far enough?
Yes, it is. You're past an hour. Isn't that far enough?
What are you doing with a car on the goddamn moon?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. So good.
I'm going to go watch it right now, actually. So.
Yeah, you are?
I'm feeling good. Yeah.
I mean, I am. I feel like I want to watch it too. But
all right. We'll both watch it. And so will our listeners. So.
In the supermarket, they're just sweating it out. Nobody knows the meat, the protein, the carbs, and the fat content.
Fat content.
Oh my God, fat content. Walking up to each other, you look pretty good. What are you eating? Maybe I'll eat that.
Classic. I love his airplane jokes too. It's like, they have everything on a plane, including the slot for used razor blades. Who is shaving on the plane?
Yeah.
And shaving so much, they're using up razor blades?
That's a joke that probably does not make sense anymore because I'm pretty sure they don't have that slot anymore. Yeah. So.
Oh, you pull up on the buckle. Oh.
Oh, I was trying to break the metal apart.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, stay happy, everybody.
All right.
Laugh a little bit.
Yeah. This was episode 17 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. We'll see you next
Insert
week.
Insert outro here.